This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Go ahead, Alec. It's the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan.
It is not 10 o'clock yet. My shift has not started.
Okay, this is a running joke. Especially, I'm going to try to convince you guys to let me leave early on Friday. All right, this is a running...
You want me to talk y'all up to 10?
Okay.
All right, so I had a really good joke about Juju Watkins.
No,
if you want to
don't!
Shut his mic off
turn
now.
Turn his microphone off.
Jeez. I took it back.
The KNC Masterpiece has arrived. You've got me, Kevin Hagland, Corey Majors, and the famous Alec Medford. Gentlemen, how we doing today?
I am doing very well, Kevin. Thank you for asking. And Alec, I wanted to come in and tell you just moments ago, but you all seem busy. Jacob was good. I'm glad you're back. So I'm glad you're back because you're part of the show, baby, and it's good to have you back.
To be fair, this time when we laid out on purpose was very similar to the start of the show yesterday with Jacob, but that was not on purpose.
It's all right. Listen, we gave him a hard time. He did a good job.
Good. Yeah, I was in a dentist chair, so I wasn't able to listen to the open of the show. But hey, my dentists are Tolos. So, after a while, I was able to convince them to put the station on in the chair. So
there we go. Free dental.
Now, we're going to talk about the Stars here.
Right?
We're gonna puck around and find out. But I have a quick relationship question for you guys.
All right.
Where was the disconnect on this? So I haven't talked this over with my wife because I just got this email minutes ago. She sent me an email yesterday during the show. Hey, could we do a $25 recurring donation for this place called Hope Mommies?
Hope Mommies.
By the way, if you want to look up Hope Mommies, they do really great things to try to help people in the aftermath of just some of the most terrible things that you can imagine happening in your life, and especially if you're pregnant. So they do a really great job right there. And so I got so we were like, all right, good job. So I got an email this morning when we're doing show prep. Hey, I went ahead and signed up for the $50 monthly donation on my debit card. My question is just this. I thought we had a plan. I thought we said $25 a month is great. It's not so much the money as it is the disconnect. Like, where did we go wrong?
Yeah.
Because it went from that to that, and I don't know what happened.
Alec, I have two theories here. Theory number one, when she got to the website only took $50 donations. It did not take $25, and she was confused by that. That's theory number one.
Okay.
Theory number two.
I can see that.
When she says we, she meant per person. 25 and 25.
Oh, that is deceptive.
And I'm surprised it wasn't 75 with an addition for Noah. Actually, 100 with Brandon included as well.
That's a lot of money.
That is deceptive.
So that's what I'm considering, is that there was a possibility she said we and meant to double it up. Those are my only two options right now.
I think it's option B. That, or maybe like if you did the $50 tier, you got something cool to go with it, like a t-shirt or something.
That might be another one too.
And she knows, I've totally done that
she's
before.
Like, you like t-shirts.
Okay, well, if we do it for the year, that's a $300 t-shirt. We could just get the t-shirt made.
It's not about the t-shirt, Kevin. It's about the people.
Okay.
The mommies.
Okay. Actually, that is true. And again, Hope Mommies, if you want to look them up, I'm not kidding about this. It is a phenomenal cause. And somebody essentially got one of those boxes for us when we were in a really bad way. And we have tried to spread the word from there. And by the way, from Ryan from the 817, no. I did not appreciate the picture that you sent me this morning of a sunrise, talking about how beautiful it was and all of that.
Aww.
Thumbs down. Now, thumbs up For this, it is the Dallas Stars. Go ahead and give me cut number four, will you please?
Take it away from Bogosian. Duchesne shot. Score! Ben was cutting in front. Duchesne, the screenshot. And Dallas doubles up immediately.
Now, to be fair, we should play all of the Minnesota goals, too.
They didn't have a single goal, Kevin.
Oh? Oh.
Oh, hold on. Oh, did you want to?
No, that's fine.
We can go back and pause for a second.
Absolutely. So we had had this conversation for, I feel like, a couple of weeks. Leaky defense and leaky Jake Ottinger. Ottinger, I believe this is only his second shutout of the season. He played really well. Did you still think that there was too many shots on goal? Well, that's a fair conversation we can have in just a second. But I thought he played phenomenal. This is yet another reason why I would love to play the Minnesota Wild in the first round of the playoffs, because Ottinger and the Dallas Stars absolutely own the Minnesota Wild.
Yeah, that's a tough one for me to try and figure out here, because last night, one of my friends said this, Ottinger was committing crimes on that ice by just stealing everything away, all the hopes and dreams of the Minnesota Wild. He was fantastic in net. Like, it wasn't, there were saves that I was like, that's beautiful, wonderful job. But I can't decide if it's just because it's Minnesota. That's what the way that he, because he, that's his place, you know, and yeah. He, like you just said, he owns them. Or if Ottinger heard us the other day calling him out saying, be better. Whoa. And he was like, I'll show y'all that Casey DeSmith has nothing on me. I'm going to go be the Otter again.
Casey DeSmith has still done a good job.
Yeah, I'm just saying is, it, when Otter can be Otter, he is a superior goalie to Casey DeSmith. That's a reality.
For sure.
But there are times when maybe it's the defense in front of him. Maybe it's just his focus and concentration. I don't know. But last night, he was phenomenal.
Jake Ottinger.
The phenomenon Otter.
I like that. Mm-hmm. I like that a lot. This is per our buddy, mine. Brian Ray. But it's where I heard it from, so I choose to give you credit. In his career against Minnesota, this is for the regular season and the playoffs, Otter is 10-2-2 with a 2.08 goals against average, a .925 save percentage, and two shutouts. If you have a .925 save percentage, I'm not saying that's absolutely going to win every single time, that's going to put you right at the top mm-hmm. of save percentages in the NHL.
The moving over a little bit, this team can score in a flurry.
That's true.
Like, they absolutely, if they crack it open, all right, guys, we found it. Let's go.
There's two goals 1 minute apart.
Yeah, Duchesne, it was Harley and then Duchesne's goal, and Duchesne's goal was beautiful. I'm still trying to figure out Harley's goal. Was that a ricochet?
I think it went off of Wyatt.
It went off Wyatt? Yeah, okay.
So I think that is what happened.
It was such a tight, like, window, and I had some other thing I was listening to at the time while I was watching, so I didn't hear, but it was such a tight window for that to go in through. But that's what Harley does well, right? He has a power shot from the top, and then and it can be deflected. It can go in. It's just he's one of those guys that we're very fortunate to have that kind of shot on our defense.
And especially going into the playoffs, there's nothing more you want than agitators in front of the goalie who excel at deflecting the puck.
Yes. Remember, what's his name? He's no longer with us.
Chris Tanev?
No. He was a little guy. He was the Captain America. Oh my God, what's his name? He was Wyatt Johnston, slept at his house all the time.
You can do
it
this.
It started with the P.
You can do this.
Nope, I can't right
now.
No,
you can't.
It's lost in the brain somewhere. Pavelski.
Joe Pavelski.
Pavelski.
That was close enough.
I was like, no,
well,
that's the basketball
go,
player.
But that was close enough.
But yeah,
it took a village.
That was something that he was exceptional at. And so much so that even Tyler Seguin was like, I'm going out there to take Pavelski's routine and warm up the same way so I can get these deflections in. But yeah, Wyatt's that kind of dude too.
Now, to go along with this, it is not all smiles and rainbow and sunshine, because I don't know if we need to develop a different face shield or if we need to have some sort of curvature going on there, because Mikko Rantanen took a puck to the face as well. And there have been several of these this year, and obviously, it kind of freaks me out.
Yeah, over and over this year, to the point where Marchment was like, hey, guys, look at this new shield I got. And they do. They're now wearing the face shield that goes underneath. Rantanen last night, he said, screw it. Put one of those on me. Let me get back out on the ice. If I got hit in the face with a puck that was traveling that fast, you wouldn't find me for 2 months. I would just be like, no, I'm definitely going to need structure surgery done here. And we're going to have to do it all. But he just went back there and he was just like, are the teeth still together? Do I have a broken jaw? No, we're good. All right, let me get back out there and help the team. I love seeing that from him, for one, because that's just another step of him getting comfortable with this team, them starting to learn him, seeing that dude's going to be out there for us. He's fighting for us. During the playoffs, they're going to remember stuff like this because that toughness pays off. I know this is, I reference it a lot when we talk hockey. Shorzy. There's a scene where he's talking to the kids that are going off to the next camp. And he's like, when you get there, what are you going to be? And one kid's like, the best scoring defenseman. And he's like, no, you suck at this anyway. So you're not going to be that. Another one goes, the best skater on the ice. He goes, you're slow. You can't do that.
Yeah.
What are you going to be? He said, the hardest worker on the ice. You're going to be the one everybody remembers, the guy that pushed through and did all these other things, no matter how many zits he had on his back. Those are the things that people remember. And so whenever you see a guy that gets hit in the face like that come back out, it gives you some juice.
And I'm pretty sure he got an assist on the empty net goal.
Let's go.
Now I'm going to throw this out there. It's a tough road ahead. You are 6 points back of Winnipeg. You have one game in hand. Now, obviously, you would have to win that game in hand. That would drop you down to 4 points. You still have one more game against Winnipeg. You would need to win that game in regulation. All right?
I'm pretty sure the rest of your schedule is pretty light. I might be wrong about that.
So
you do have Winnipeg. Yeah, you do have Winnipeg too on April 10th.
If you can win that game in regulation, if you can win that game in hand, I know you don't play Winnipeg next, but theoretically that would close the gap to 2 points with the other 10 games left to play. And that feels like a far more achievable thing to catch up with, where on the flip side, you're also 5 points up on Colorado with a game in hand. And so you are creating a little bit of distance so you can at least have C2 and match up and have home ice against Colorado or Minnesota. That's the only tough thing. Obviously, I'm glad the Stars won. This would have been one instance where I would have been okay if it went to overtime or a shootout to get the Wild an extra point, because I really want the Wild to overtake the Avalanche. So then you could potentially play them C2, C3 in the first round. Because like I said, Ottinger and the Stars freaking own the Wild.
It does, Kevin. You have the fourth easiest schedule remaining according to Tankathon.
Well, there you go.
So that's quality. Your toughest opponents down the stretch here are going to be Winnipeg, Edmonton, and Minnesota. So, like, that's what they say. All the rest of them, you should cruise through.
Interesting. Well, so maybe there is still a shot. Now, you mentioned Casey DeSmith. I was reading a really interesting article on NHL.com, and it's called Unmasked. And it's essentially about...
A magician?
No. It's about the life of the backup goalie.
Okay.
And so Ottinger, this was prior to last night's game. I believe the article came out yesterday. Ottinger was tied for eighth in games played with 49. He's on pace for about 60 starts. That leaves maybe 22 for Casey DeSmith, or one every 9 days.
Okay.
And so, as you can probably imagine, not the easiest competitive life in the world. And one of the things that DeSmith said, even though he's been very good in those instances, he's 12-6. In 18 starts with a .914 save percentage. You will take that from your backup goalie absolutely every year. He said the confidence issue, if you had a bad one, you don't get right back in the net. And that's the toughest part. Like, we've talked about this a couple of years ago, our first show at spring training, I had technical difficulties and everything. It was really annoying. And I was really mad when we were leaving the ballpark, and both Corey and Mike were like, well, good thing is you get to do another one the next day, the next day, and the next day, and the next day, and you're like, okay, that's a really good point. But for DeSmith, and it's not just him, I'm sure all backup goalies, if you have a bad game and you're probably not going to play for another, on average, 9 days, I wonder if in your mind you're like, would I have played that game before if I didn't play so poorly? Like, did they give Ottinger or whoever the starting goaltender is an extra start because they don't have faith in me? I need to get back out there. And there's nothing that you can probably do about it for another week plus.
Yeah, that is the lifestyle, and it's the one you've chosen. It is difficult, but you got to be ready for it and do whatever those things are in between starts to show that you're maintaining that level of play.
And so then the other thing, and we've talked about this before, is part of the job description, like you said, this is the life that they have chosen, is you have to stay late at the end of practice. And so
to collect the pucks.
Yeah. Well, no, not that.
Somebody has to pick up the baseballs in the outfield. Mm-hmm. You know, somebody has to pick up the pucks.
Okay.
Zamboni's not going
to
do it.
I think it's bad enough that he essentially has to just stand there and be the target when people are just like, the team is just firing off.
He doesn't have to be the target. He can get his practice in.
Okay.
Deflecting, catching.
But doesn't that feel save. Like the definition of insult to injury if they're like, hey, good job, DeSmith. Now go round all these pucks up. And come bring him back, put him in the bucket, bring him back to the locker room.
He knows what his job. I don't actually know who collects the pucks.
Okay.
Now, I'm going to ask Frank.
Keep in mind, this quote is about staying late to practice. It is not about picking up the pucks. We do not know that to be factually
accurate. I got to figure this out, though. So why does he have to stay late after practice again?
Because that's just the job of the backup goalie is you need to have somebody in there so people can like practice get angles their and
okay,
everything.
Okay, I'm in.
And DeSmith said, I don't struggle with this. Again, the extra practice, not picking up the pucks. But it could be hard to keep your focus and work ethic up as far as day in, day out practice. That could be an issue for certain guys. But he was like, it is not an issue for me. So he had the opportunity. Casey DeSmith is featured. There's other backup goalies that are featured in it as well. It's on NHL.com. Unmasked, maintaining game rhythm and the confidence key to surviving as a backup NHL goalie. Thought it was a fascinating article.
Kevin, I think it's a great article too, and I'm looking forward to getting more of it ingested into my brain. From the 254, you guys could help the Stars by calling them Lose a Peg, their true name.
That is a good point.
And I got
that is one of the funniest hockey points Mike ever made.
We may need to put up a survey here. Do we call them Lose, because we don't play them until April 10th.
Okay.
Do we call them Lose a Peg starting now? Or do we wait until after we played them and beaten them and then call them that during the playoffs? Because do we want to motivate them now or do we want to really like ingrain in their brains that we are losers?
I think now, because then maybe if you could overtake them for the Central Division lead.
We told you so the whole time.
Yeah.
I like it.
So then maybe you end up with one of the chumps out of the Pacific. This is not going to be the same deal where you have to take on Vegas as a wild card in the first round. So that's good. So I say, yeah, call them Lose a Peg right now.
Let's go.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, Mavs win. They might make the playoffs and Anthony Davis is back. Yet I can't really find a way to care at all.
Come on!
What about you guys? 877-881-1053. We really want to know. Next on The Fan.
Davis bluffed the three. Now Davis the screener. And the roller and the finisher. Nice pass and a pretty easy finish. Davis.
And as you could hear in the background, the crowd went absolutely berserk when that happened. I'm sorry, Alec. You know what? This wasn't planned.
Uh-oh.
Can we go ahead and...
Off script, baby.
...and re-rack that clip one more time so we can hear how pumped everybody is? Look, I know the naysayers are going to be like, because the game wasn't in Dallas. I'm going to argue this is a very similar reaction as you will get when the Mavericks are back at home.
Davis bluffed the three. Now Davis the screener. And the roller and the finisher. Nice pass and... A pretty easy finish.
Brooklyn knew what was in for them that night. They were like, this isn't going to be easy.
Yeah, they're like, the hell you are going to out-tank us. And so, Corey, you helped get this kind of like topic going.
Oh, I did?
Yes, you did.
You're welcome.
Thank you. And it was, look, there's a lot of positives. Anthony Davis is back. Maybe if this is what you want.
PJ looks pretty healthy.
Exactly. The Mavericks are back in for now, the play-in, and they can make a playoff race. And maybe you could still potentially get back Gafford and Lively. I get it. So I'm not discounting any of those positives. But when I was putting it together, I was like, I don't care. And I'm just telling you, I'm watching the games and stuff because it's my job, right? But I care way more about the Stars game last night. I care way, way more about opening day for the Rangers on Thursday. We're going to be their Whataburger opening day. Because I was born and raised in the Metroplex here. We all were. I just right now, I don't know how soon it's going to change. And maybe it's just because the Mavericks have struggled so much. I just really find myself having, I'm struggling when I'm watching the game to be like, yeah.
It's, this is not a popular thing to say because I did love Luka too. But Kevin, as long as he's been, like, as long as I've known about him, Anthony Davis has been one of my favorite players.
True.
I mean, you've known that for a while. I've always loved. So whenever the trade happened, there was part of me that was very excited because we got Anthony Davis. The other part was like, but why couldn't we have both? Like, why couldn't we figure out a better trade? But here we are now. And so at some point, I either have to say I'm done being a Mavs fan and I'm never going to be a Mavs fan again, or I'm going to move on and go with this thing. This season doesn't look like a championship season anymore.
Sure.
And so for a lot of people, they're like, well, that was a good try, but without Kai, we can't do it. And I get that. I think whenever this team comes back, if it has a healthy Anthony Davis, who is, you've coined it Data Davis, you never know.
Yes.
A healthy PJ, Daniel Gafford, lively.
It's a good team.
You don't have a transcendent fourth quarter takeover guy in Kyrie, but you have a very good basketball team. I can see the vision. Like, I totally see the vision of what they're trying to accomplish. I just liked, we've said this about radio. People like what they like. I liked Luka.
Yeah.
I'm very happy to watch Anthony Davis continue to do what he's doing. And somebody says he was the sixth best scorer last night. He was the hub of what most of that offense was. Now, you watch him last night. He was distributing. He was doing a lot of different things on the court. Sometimes there were threes. I was like, that one's got to go in, and it didn't. I was like, that was a perfect pass. But that looked more like a team than a bunch of individuals last night, and that's what I think the expectation is.
I could see that. And somebody said from the 682, I disagree, Kevin. I still love my Mavs. I want to make this clear. It's a difference between, and Corey and I talked about this before the show, it's a difference between kind of where my headspace is and where Mike's headspace was when he's like, I'm just done with the NBA. I'm not done with the NBA. I just don't have that same level of enthusiasm specifically watching the Mavs this year. I hope they win. I would prefer they win. But like, if it's in the third quarter and there's a transition basket to take it from 5 to 7 point lead, I'm not like, oh, in your face, Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Like I frequently am when watching sporting events. And it looks like there's a lot of people who feel that way from the 817. I don't care at all. From the 214, the Mavs and Luka trade maybe lose all interest in basketball. From the 214, they also use a different phrase for saying that they don't care and made Mike quit the fan. That I just want to say, I know the timing worked out well on that. I do not believe those two things are directly related.
But you don't not know.
I think you have a pretty good feel for that as well. And from the 469, maybe it'll change for next year, but I can't with this team right now. And I think it could have been different, Corey and Alec, if Kyrie would have still been there and Anthony Davis. Like, I still would have been bummed that Luka wasn't there, but I was like, hey, we tried a new direction. We're third in the West. Let's see what happens in the playoffs. But when Anthony Davis immediately gets hurt, so does Gafford. Lively's already out. And then you lose Kyrie for the season. I'm like, all right, so I don't get to really see your new look direction this year. And that's taken a lot of my enthusiasm as well.
You can still care and be disinterested in my mind. Like you said, there's so much going right now, at least with two other teams in the Metroplex, to be excited about. You have a Stars team that's hopefully going to make a Stanley Cup push, which I think they are primed and ready for.
Agreed.
I don't think that's misguided whatsoever. I think the Rangers have one of the best lineups in baseball, and I'm intrigued to see how the rotation holds up. Like, there's just intrigue, general intrigue with the other two teams. Whenever you trade away your homegrown superstar and nobody on this roster can stay healthy and you're kind of just playing for a misguided play-in spot, I'm just not interested. I care. I'm always going to love the Mavericks, but like you said, Kyrie Irving not being there, not having 77 on the floor, at least a 77 that we're ever going to care about to the same level as we did Luka. You know, Anthony Davis on a minutes restriction. I'd love watching him at his best. You know, if he was ready to roll, if we were a few wins higher, a few spots higher in the playoff seeding, I'd be a lot more intrigued. But it's a hobbled Anthony Davis on a minutes restriction. And who else? Not many other options to get excited about. So it's kind of like what I talked about last week. I think it's just the Mavs trying to drum up some hopium from their fan base and get people to get back into season tickets and buying ticket plans next year and buying jerseys and say, we'll try again next year. Right now, I'm not buying into it. I'm going to watch the games, but I'm not really going to care.
I completely understand anybody that's in that place. I'm going to watch them, not expecting anything significant to happen. I'm going to keep an eye on it, not because of the job, but because I have been a Mavs fan and I'm kind of over the emotional state of it that I was in, I guess. I'm kind of past that. And I really like Anthony Davis. Unfortunately, he's been injured most of his career, and that stunk for him, but I know what the skill set is, so I'm excited about that. Somebody said, let me see if I can find it real quick. They said you found out that you aren't a Mavs fan. You were just a Luka fan all along.
I disagree with that very much.
And I disagree with it too. I'm a Mavs fan. I disagree with the direction they took the Mavericks. Yeah. And that's where I was, because I didn't like it. However, there was a time early in Luka's career where I dropped the suggestion that he was Westbrook or that he was Harden. And on their own, those two guys have never won a championship.
Sure.
Because they've had a lot of stats up. They make some special plays. You're like, oh my gosh. But for whatever reason, that style of game doesn't win it. I don't know why. It seems like team basketball is the way to play. And it feels like they have a bunch of guys that may have been frustrated that they're not getting their opportunities. And that was, I'm thinking as Nico a little bit. And these guys aren't able to do what they need to do. And we'd like for more opportunities to go their way. Even though Luka was setting dudes up, he still shot a lot. He still missed a lot. And there were other nights where he'd score 70. I get it. I didn't like the direction they went either. But if it leads to more wins in the future, everybody will be much happier. They'll still be upset about it, but it'll be much happier along the way.
I agree with you on that. I will say in the positive column for Anthony Davis, he said after the game yesterday, there was no doubt in his mind that he was going to come back. Quote, seeing these guys playing with seven guys playing 38, 40 minutes, we just don't have enough bodies. Kessler Edwards is playing the five. Najee's playing the five. Added a little bit more motivation for me. So I know, while one of the discussion points when we talked about the pros and cons of Anthony Davis coming back was it doesn't look like this team, at least for this year with all the injuries, has really any shot at a championship. I love that Anthony Davis was like, I watched this team struggle with the numbers, struggle with the minutes people are having to play because of lack of depth, struggling with players that are way out of position because, again, of all the injuries. And he's like, that's one of the things that motivated me to come back. So I say big, giant thumbs up to Anthony Davis for that. And then I want to read this text because, again, I think this person has gotten the message all wrong. For the 469, Kevin, you suck. Hurtful. The Cowboys have been losing for a long time. You still root for them. Go Mavs. I'm not sure if you've heard the entire segment when I said I was absolutely still watching and rooting for the Mavs. I just don't care as much. And anybody who's been a Cowboys fan their entire life, like me, has found many times when they just didn't care as much because of either decisions that were made, teams that were struggling. I never said I'm out on the Mavs forever. I said I'm not as excited watching their games right now. There have been so many seasons, this last season, 2015, 2000, 2001, 2002, and you can name many others when watching the Cowboys almost felt like a chore because I love them and I grew up with them, but you're like, I've seen this team. Or why did we make that decision? Dude, did we essentially send Troy away? You know, like, it's things like that. And I still think I'm in that phase.
Somebody said, look, this could be it too. Somebody was like, this is, why did they build a team around Luka? If that's the case, maybe they always had in mind, we're going to move on. We're going to build a team that can win if we can get a different piece rather than Luka. Maybe that's the way Nico was thinking. I don't know. We've never really gotten a good straight answer out of anybody in that front office. So we're still trying to figure that out. But the line of I've seen this team, that's what as a fan is the most frustrating thing. We feel like we see things that ownership and front office do not see because they're idiots and they don't know what they're doing. Unless they've won a championship, then they're the smartest one. Chris Young's the smartest person we know. He won us a World Series. The Rangers were never able to do it before. So that's a possibility that But that feeling of, we know what that team's made of. We get it. Why did you do this if we knew this about it? And you didn't see that? We're always feeling like ownership doesn't understand what fans see because we see it better. We've been watching it more than you. And then they're like, no, you haven't. You don't know the behind the scenes stuff. You're like, then tell us. And then they're like, no, we can't tell you because you're not ready for the truth.
Yeah. And look, and this is tough from the 817. If the team was healthy after the trade, it was a better team. How can you not see that? Okay. You don't know that. That's what you think from the 817. I'm very glad that you're participating in the show. I just want to make this clear. That's what you think. You don't know that because we didn't get to see it. It's one of the things that we went round and round with Tony Romo and Dak about different things and different seasons, a variety of time. You can think that and you can believe that with all your heart. And I'm not saying that you're 100% wrong, because guess what? I don't know either. I'm not saying that the team was going to be worse if everybody was healthy. I'm not saying that at all. It's just you didn't get to see it. I didn't get to see it. Everybody got hurt and the team immediately went in the tank. That is hard to keep your enthusiasm up for.
Yeah, and then when you think you have a team built for a championship, and the rug is just completely taken out from under you, you're like, what are we even trying to do this for? And again, if Anthony Davis was healthy and Kyrie hadn't gotten hurt and PJ hadn't gotten hurt, Gafford and Lively were there, this thing would look different and you might feel a little more confident. When those guys come back, will they make will they be in position to be in the playoffs? Probably yes.
Yes.
Because Anthony Davis is good enough to get them a few more wins to keep them in that place. And if they want to do that, which the players on the court want to do that, if they want to do that, how far can that team go if your bigs come back and you don't have Kyrie, but you do have PJ and other facilitators? This team, if you just keep watching them a little bit, might give you some answers to that question.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Baseball Nuggets. Is today roster moving day for the Rangers? Because I think it might be. We'll do that next right here on The Fan.
His first pitch is swung on and slugged to deep left field. Down the line, deep, and it is history. On the first pitch of the game, Marcus Semien goes deep and gives the Rangers a 1-0 lead.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan right now, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC and repair. It's time for Baseball Nuggets. Now, we had a whole bunch of important stuff that we were going to talk about, but forget it. We're going to talk about the Rangers instead. Well, not the Rangers are not important, but this feels like a pressing bit of Rangers information. So we've talked a lot about center field, all right? Leody Taveras, Evan Carter, Kevin Pillar. Even if you think that Kevin Pillar is going to end up being the fourth outfielder or however that goes. So they all played yesterday. Leody Taveras hit a 109.9 exit velocity home run.
He has, I do believe he has two now of the top six hardest hit balls by the Rangers in the spring training.
Really? I would not have guessed that.
Yeah.
Wow. So that's his fourth home run of the of spring training, okay? Then Evan Carter came in, pinch ran for Higgy late in the game, and then struck out swinging in his lone at bat versus a right-hander, all right? So for Evan Carter, and that's not even a left-hander, but here's the disturbing facts as you look at them. His slash line for spring training is 154, 214, and 205. He has 15 strikeouts in 15 games. And that's total. That's not just against left-handed pitching. So let's take you down to Bruce Bochy. And so I'm getting this from Sean McFarland, your buddy, our buddy. We've talked about it. He's been doing a really good job covering spring training. He asked Bochy about, like, hey, what's the shakeup looking like? So this article came out yesterday. So when he says tomorrow, that means today. Bruce Bochy said, we're going to talk to some players tomorrow, i.e. today. That's our priority when we get to the park. When they get to the park, we'll have some conversations with guys and get this thing sorted out and just let them know where we're at. Some of these decisions haven't been easy, but tomorrow, i.e. today, we have to make them. All right. And so I know there's still a couple of bullpen spots that theoretically feel like they might be open, and especially if you're going to wait for Patrick Corbin solidifying the starting rotation, if you think it is going to be Rocker and Leiter for sure. But it feels like a lot of this is surrounded center field because it's not really a one-on-one competition anymore. It feels like it's Pilar, Leody, and Evan Carter, and there's only room for two of them. Oh, obviously, only one of them is the starter. Another one is a fourth outfielder, and then perhaps you end up sending, and I've already said this, I think it makes sense because of his struggles to send Evan Carter to the minors, let him bat lead off, and let's just sink or swim. You know, RJ said, you got to get better at it. Evan Carter has said, I have to get better at it. I have confidence that I will. And I like that he has that confidence. But what better, how is he going to get better at hitting left-handed pitchers? Is it more likely that he'll get better hitting leadoff in the minors where he will see a ton of left-handed pitching? Or when he bats seventh or eighth, mostly against right-handed pitchers and sits on the bench a lot against left-handers on the big club?
From the A17, let's face it, I think Carter was just a flash in the pan.
I hope that is not the case.
The reason I don't think it's the case is because of everything that led up to it. However, we did know he often gets injured in the minor leagues. Like that was something that was kind of known, but he was wrecking shop in the minor leagues before the Rangers said, all right, let's give him an opportunity to go. I'm concerned. My biggest fear is that between the ears, he doesn't know what to do. Not that he doesn't know how to play the game, but he's kind of maybe so much information's coming at him and all these people are trying to tell him things and he needs to just clear his mind and go be the kid that he was before. That's what I'm fearing. I don't think it's a physical thing right now. I think it's more of a mental thing. And I think the best way to iron all that out is to go to the minor leagues. If you went in the spring and you had 15 strikeouts to start to for in your spring, you're not doing something right for yourself. So I prefer that if that's the case. Let him get his opportunity to work himself back up into this. And if he's tearing it up back in the minors again anytime soon, then you say, all right, we got to try and find a way. But this is I'm still in that mindset of when you have players that are this young, you still got to figure out what they have between the ears and what they can manage. Because they're kids. Remember how dumb we were as kids?
Yeah.
And the mistakes we made whenever we were 21, 22 years old. So hopefully he can get that, whatever's between the ears, all ironed out. Now, that being said, the process that Boach and the group have to go through today, Kevin, is something I wanted to kind of spend a minute on, if you don't mind. And Mike's talked about this before plenty of times, that they pretty much come to you. Somebody comes in and says, hey, Skip needs to talk to you. Go talk to the coach. Go talk to Boachy. And you walk in there and you get your lesson. Some people are good at it. Some people are bad at it. And I think Boachy and Chris Young are very good at this part of it where they're like, look, we're straightforward. I've always been told you never leave the stadium without knowing where you stand with Bruce Boachy.
Yes.
And that's something I think is so important. So for him to be, so when he's in that room, the idea is you're not going to be with the team. I'm not going to beat around the bush. I'm going to be blunt with you. Here's what's going to happen. Here's what we need you to work on. Go back and do those things. Sometimes that's the case. Sometimes it's you're not going to be with the team. You're just not good enough yet, and you're going to be doing these other things. But every coach we've ever talked to, and Kevin, we've even seen it happen while we've been in the clubhouse, they're always very adamant that you have to be up front, give them the information. You can't sugarcoat it for them because they need to learn. You're not trying to crap all over them. You're just trying to give them good constructive criticism to help them along the way.
Now, this is another interesting development. Luke Jackson, I'm assuming, brand new friend of the nosebleed seats and the G-Bag Nation, because that's all Jock Peterson wanted in life at spring training, was to make sure to connect those people. So Luke Jackson, he pitched a clean ninth inning to close things out yesterday, which you heard right here on 105.3 The Fan. Now, he is not allowed a run in six innings. And you might be like, spring training, that's great, but I don't know. All right, let's get more specific then. To finish the win yesterday, Chris Martin pitched in the eighth and Luke Jackson pitched in the ninth for the save. And Boachy said they might not stick to, quote, completely defined roles, but that's pretty close to what you saw tonight. So it might not always be Martin in the ninth. In fact, it sounds like it absolutely will not always be Martin in the ninth. And it could be rotating between Martin and Jackson, Or more importantly, he might have been like, we feel like we found leverage arms to go in the last few innings. For Jackson, 6 innings, I already told you, no runs given up. However, this is probably more important. He struck out 9 in 6 innings and allowed 3 combined hits and walks. So in 6 innings, he gave up 3 hits and walks combined and struck out 9. Spring training?
No.
I get it.
Yeah.
But that's pretty damn good.
And this is a guy that a lot of Braves fans, again, we've seen it on the fan text, are like, hey, don't trust that guy.
But
they have to find arms.
Yeah.
I'm still kind of curious what the plan for Teoto is and why Eric Chiafalo's here at before 11 o'clock this morning.
Oh, hey.
He is committed to work. Man, that's just the really way that is. He is. But I'm still kind of, I'm interested to see what their plan with Teoto is, at what point he gains the trust of Boach or gains the trust of CY to say, we're going to go ahead and add this arm to our bullpen too, or if it would just have to be because of injury. If all three of those guys, Kevin, are in a groove and Bochy knows I can roll Jackson, Garcia, and Martin out and we're good to go. If he can feel that way, then you'll never see Teoto.
And the tough part about Teoto is as well, they still have him probably pegged as a starter. Like, that's still what they're trying to make happen. Hey, I still think he can be a starter.
And that might be some time because, you know, obviously where he stands in the pecking order of Rocker, Leiter, and where they all are from the 2-5-4. I'm pretty sure Bochy tells guys not making the club, you're going down in your face.
But he would say it in his mustache way.
Well,
that would make you feel okay about it.
You know what, Teoto, you're going down in your face, but it's going to be one of those days that we have together.
That's not bad. I would have really liked it if you would have
worked
all
in this with you.
Some anecdote about like a mountain or Wyoming or something like that. It just feels like that needs to be a part of it. So we will bring you the news as it happens, but it sounds like today is going to be a day where we're going to get some answers on this. Again, just your first answer, because what it's looking like for opening day, by no means does that mean that's the way it's going to be for the whole season, let alone a month, a couple of weeks, depending on a variety of factors.
Kevin, go ahead. This Dan Clark Sports posted this, and I just wanted a real quick question. This might be a topic. Unpopular opinion, MLB opening day is better than the Super Bowl. I love MLB opening day.
Okay.
Super Bowl's one game, MLB opening day cracks off all the
at-bats. Let's hold on to that because that is definitely a topic.
All right, we'll do that this week.
And I know it's a topic because I started debating it in my head and I was like, hey, you need to focus right here and right now. We'll get to
good.
That. All right.
Good.
So Alec, I want you to imagine living in this world.
Oh, no.
Oh, it's a great world.
Ooh.
I would love to be in this world. I'm not. You're not. Unless this is like an undercover boss kind of thing that's been happening.
Mm.
But the Minnesota Twins are looking to sell. And they had a conversation. Last year, Forbes estimated that they were worth between $1.46 and $1.7 billion by Forbes and Sportico. Supposedly, a buyer emerged that said, I will give you $1.5 billion.
He is rich.
He is. And the Twins said that number was a non-starter. And so they're looking for, it sounds like, at least $1.7 billion. Maybe but that's because that's what they think the true valuation is. Maybe it's because the Twins have debts that are more than $400 million. Don't know for sure. But Alec, can you imagine a world you lived in which somebody said, I'll give you $1.5 billion. You scoffed at them and walked away and said, then our conversation is over.
I'd have to be in a lot of trouble financially, man, for me to turn that down. Just say one time payment. We get this thing done. No, for me to say that I have a lot more debt than that 400 something million that they're saying publicly.
I could see that.
I've got a lot more problems at home that I have to worry about. So, yeah, there's not many scenarios where I'm saying no to that much money.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we're going to stick with baseball, damn it. Could the 2025 Texas Rangers outslug the 2023 squad? And why did I use that profanity? All of that next right here on The Fan.